This weekend starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This weekend with your host, Gordon Deal.
Chinese adoptions disrupted. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
American families waiting to adopt in China will have to wait a little longer due to coronavirus restrictions. Their heartache is exacerbated by not knowing how long they'll wait.
It's not easy being single when you're only supposed to be out for essential reasons. We'll examine the new complications of dating.
With most everyone hunkered down at home, happy hour is moving online. Hear how some people are raising a glass while quarantined.
And potential silver lining from coronavirus restrictions, less pollution, which could be saving lives.
The amount of air pollution that's being spewed into the air by factories and cars has been reduced due to the people staying at home from the coronavirus. Kind of counterintuitive, and of course, you don't want to make light of something like the coronavirus, but it has been a lifesaver in some parts of the world.
Doyle Rice at USA Today on carbon emissions reduced thanks to shelter-in-place rules. As the coronavirus outbreak appears to be subsiding in China, American families whose adoption plans have been delayed express hope that they will be able to travel to the country in late spring. But there's no firm date on when they'll be able to finally embrace their new child. It's a story by Sen Wu Tan, reporter at The Washington Times. Sen, what have you found?
I decided to interview families, U.S. families, who are trying to adopt internationally. And China is the country that has the most intercountry adoptions to the U.S. In 2018, there were about 1,500 adoptions out of China. And just to kind of give you, put that into context, there were about 4,000 intercountry adoptions that year. So there are a proportion of American families who are trying to adopt internationally, and that can be quite a long process already if there aren't already all these hurdles. So you add in the coronavirus, which is something that kind of, you know, you don't plan for, and that's further delayed the process for a number of American families.
Well, I know with the process you have to be patient, and I'm sure these families are resigned to that, but to tack on really an unknown period of time on the end of it has to be just frustrating, because they don't know for sure when they'll be able to fly to China and get their new child, correct?
Correct. And a number of families already had travel plans arranged, and they had to cancel them because of travel restrictions that stemmed from the coronavirus pandemic.
All right. So you spoke to Katie and Chris Driver from Garner, North Carolina. Explain their story a little bit.
Katie and Chris Driver, so they actually adopted a little boy named Liam in 2016. And he was born with Down syndrome, and there's actually many children in Chinese orphanages that have some type of special needs now. And they decided that, you know, they said that they love this boy to pieces, and they decided that they want to further expand their family by specifically adopting a little girl with Down syndrome. So they made arrangements through an adoption agency to adopt a little girl named Ella, and she is turning 3 in May, and she is in a different part of China than Leanne was, but they, you know, they started that process in January 2019, and they had plans to travel in February to go and get her, but those plans were obviously delayed because of the coronavirus.
My goodness. We're speaking with Sen Wu Tan, reporter at The Washington Times. Her piece is called Adoptions for U.S. Families Disrupted by Coronavirus. So what's the process now, Sen? They wait for a call? They wait for an email that says we got the green light to go to China?
Pretty much it's just kind of a waiting game right now. Families are in different stages of the process. And so you know, they have to wait for the okay to go from the State Department, and they've been really getting updates and alerts through adoption authorities about travel and, you know, when they can kind of resume this process. So really, it's just kind of a matter of time and just waiting to see what the officials say.
Yeah. For families that are fairly deep into the process, I know these families are cut from a different breed. It's not like they're saying, you know what, we change our mind. This is too much heartache. We can't wait. We'll go another route. That's not happening, I would presume.
I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody about that, and I haven't heard anything. And so, like, my understanding is that Katie and Chris got approval from China, and so did Tony and Dayton Puckett, another family I talked to as well. And so I don't know if someone's just being like, hey, I've changed my mind. This is just too much. I think a lot of families know ahead of time what they're kind of getting into, you know, with intercountry adoptions, and that there could be, first of all, it's already a long process by itself, but there could be certain obstacles and hurdles that come their way that could further delay the process. So I'm sure that many families are kind of already aware of that going into it.
What about the idea, Sen, that obviously the coronavirus was in China, now it is in the U.S. Are there any concerns about bringing a child from China to the U.S.?
Sure, yes. So the Puckett family that I spoke with, their daughter actually has some type of special needs. So she's 3 years old, I believe, and she's been living in an orphanage for basically her entire life. And so there's concern that her immune system might not be that great or underdeveloped because she's been living in that type of environment for almost her entire life.
Makes sense. Sen Wu Tan, reporter at The Washington Times.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Times like these certainly test the mettle of investors. Want to pass the test? Personal finance expert Jonathan Clements at HumbleDollar.com has put together test prep. For one, he says, keep buying stocks. Remember your regret at failing to load up on bargain-priced shares in early 2009? He says, don't make that mistake again. Jonathan, take us through this.
So if you're a shopper and there's a sale at the department store, you realize the values are better, so you go and buy. Exactly the same thing is going on in the stock market. Yes, there's all this short-term uncertainty about how corporate America is going to fare in 2020, and I can tell you with utter conviction right now that corporate earnings will be horrible this year. But if you're an investor, you need to look ahead and realize that the fundamental profitability of U.S. corporations has not changed. As a consequence, you're getting the chance today to buy many great American businesses at one-third off. If you're an investor with any sense of consistency in your thinking, any temptation within you to buy at lower prices, this is the moment. This is the moment that you want to be buying. And so, at a minimum, you know, if you're dollar cost averaging into the market, keep putting those dollars in. But better still, think about whether you can find extra money to invest right now, because this really is an opportunity.
Even if you're not buying individual stocks, though, this thought process would also pertain to a 401k. Bump up the percentage that you save each month.
Actually, Gordon, I wouldn't advise buying individual stocks, and I wouldn't advise buying sector funds. I would only be buying broadly diversified mutual funds and exchange traded index funds. The fact is, you know, there are businesses that will go by the wayside during this current financial crisis. But the broad market is not going to go by the wayside. The S&P 500, the Wilshire 5000, those indexes are coming back. But any one stock, who knows?
Yeah. One of the more sobering comments you had, too, was if you're still in the workforce, make sure you're prepared for a period of unemployment.
Absolutely. There are a lot of people who have already lost their jobs, and they're more likely to lose their jobs depending on how long this drags on, and you want to make sure you're financially prepared. Of course, if this is short notice here. I mean, if you weren't prepared up to now, you know, you're going to have to start doing some stuff in a hurry.
Yeah.
I would hoard any cash that you have. I would start looking really hard at the expenses that you have and seeing whether there's any way you can cut back. I'd also start to think about what it is that you might do to earn income if you lose full-time employment. Is there part-time work that you can do? Is there a temporary job that you can take? You know, these are the things that you should be thinking about so you're prepared.
I'm speaking with Jonathan Clements. He's the founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com, and he's written a piece entitled 27 Things to Do Now. Talk about testing your mettle as an investor. You talked, too, about rebalancing. How so?
So if you're an investor and you don't have new cash to invest, you're still able to buy stocks using this process called rebalancing. And the notion is this. Every investor should have target weights for different parts of their portfolio. Let's say you have a classic balanced portfolio, 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds. As the stock market has declined over the past 5+ weeks, the percentage of your portfolio that's in stocks is going to come down. And so to bring your portfolio back into balance, what you want to be doing is moving money out of the bond side of your portfolio and putting it into stocks so you get back to that 60-40 mix. And if you do that, when this market turns around and recovers, you will recover much more quickly than the investor who's just sitting there doing nothing. But a big caveat, when you do this rebalancing, ideally you want to do this within your retirement account so that the trades don't trigger an immediate tax bill. If you're rebalancing within your regular taxable account and you're selling bonds there, just look to see if that's going to create any sort of capital gains tax bill, and if the bill is going to be really big, you may only want to partially rebalance or perhaps not rebalance at all.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Clements, founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. 21 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. With home security, there are two ways you can go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way where you wait weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune, or there's the other way. SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection. Two-time winner of CNET Editor's Choice Award. With SimpliSafe, outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. For the inside, there are entry, motion, and glass break sensors. Plus, you'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice 24/7. I set mine up in less than 30 minutes, and it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. It's why The Verge calls SimpliSafe the best home security system. Go to simplisafe.com/GordonDeal today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure to go to simplisafe.com/GordonDeal. That's simplisafe.com/GordonDeal. Thanks for being with us. The rules of dating are uncertain in the best of times. These days, with coronavirus restrictions virtually everywhere, the parameters are shifting faster than ever. Here's This Weekend's Jennifer Koschenka.
Lonely because you're in lockdown? You probably won't get much relief on the dating scene. As Georgia Wells of the Wall Street Journal tells us, coronavirus is making dating a lot more complicated. Georgia, how are people making do with remote romance?
Hey, so use of dating apps has surged during this lockdown period. People appear to be trying to find other people to connect with. But the challenge is starting once people try to make plans to, like, for the future.
All right, talk about some of those dating apps. What are they called, and where do you find them?
So one is called S'more, which is short for something more. It operates in Boston, New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. And it's an app on the App Store, and kind of people's profiles unfold the longer users use them. There's another called Say Hello, and they have a video, like a video chat feature, which has been really popular. There's also a new one called Quarantine Together, which was built specifically for everybody who's stuck at home right now.
So, Georgia, except for the one you just mentioned that's new, have these been around and have they been popular before?
Yeah, Yeah, there's also the more traditional ones like Tinder and Match.com and eHarmony, and those have been around for more than 10 years, and people have used them for a very long time. But this is a particular moment for them because this is a moment when it's unprecedented how hard it is to meet people in the real world right now. So a lot of people are turning to them.
Are the app companies able to take advantage of the surge in any way?
So Tinder, which is owned by Match Group, they've made some of their previously paid options free, kind of recognizing that there's more demand than ever and people are stuck at home. And also, more has started to roll out in new cities faster than they had been planning because they saw so much demand for their service.
We're speaking with Georgia Wells of the Wall Street Journal. Georgia, you've talked to some of the folks that are using these apps. Are they used to carrying on such long conversations before meeting someone?
It's funny. A lot of people I speak to who use them joke that they never wanted to have pen pals. That was in the past. So in the past, many people would kind of banter a little bit, but then make a rule, like, I must meet up with the person after 4 exchanges or something like that. Now people don't have a choice, so the bantering is going on a lot longer. People are taking it in stride. One woman I spoke with joked that this is returning people to traditional courtship, and she's actually sort of enjoying aspects of it. And people are also doing things like FaceTime dates, or kind of ordering takeout food for each other without actually meeting it.
I was going to ask you, Georgia, how the video functions have been working. Are people wanting to see each other earlier than they would have before, or has that changed
at all? They are. Yeah, they are wanting to see each other earlier, but there's also etiquette that still goes along with it. And so typically people, from all the singles I chat with in the reporting, people talk about wanting to be given a heads up if someone's going to video chat them. And so because maybe people want to put on nicer clothes and like change out of their pajamas for the first time. And so the video chat functions are super, super popular. But people are also a little bit concerned that this could dial up the pressure on these new romances for when they finally, you know, if we ever get out of this lockdown situation, is the pressure going to be too much when they finally meet each other because they already know everything about the other person?
Georgia, your story mentions a couple of things that the app companies are suggesting people do on their chat and app functions, video functions. What are some of those things that they can do other than just, you know, bantering back and forth?
People can also share their Spotify playlists. The idea there is that people think music choice kind of says a lot about their personality. They could also do joint workout sessions. There's a bunch on YouTube or other apps that you can pull up and then kind of have a phone call going while you're both doing the same workout. You can even resort to old-fashioned snail mail. But I've also heard from doctors who want to warn that it is technically possible to transmit the virus through paper. So maybe just like let that envelope kind of sit on a ledge for maybe 24 hours or a certain amount of time before you open it. And then also, like we've chatted about, the FaceTime dinner dates are also really popular.
Well, Wall Street Journal reporter Georgia Wells with this weekend's Jennifer Koschenka. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. When inspiration strikes, you should too. But how? What's the first step to bring your idea to life? Because finding the right freelancer for your business idea or project can be daunting. How can you find a quality freelancer you can afford? And how can you be sure they'll deliver? There's one easy answer to all of these questions: Fiverr. With Fiverr, you get more done with less. Fiverr connects you with freelancers who offer hundreds of services, from graphic design and copywriting to web programming, film editing, voiceover, and more. You can search by service, by deadline, by price, or reviews, and you can be confident to find quality talent you can count on at a price that's right for you. No negotiating necessary. Take 5 and check out Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com. Do it now and save 10% on your first order when you use my code Gordon. Fiverr, the fast, affordable way to bring your inspiration to life. Go to Fiverr.com and use the code Gordon to save 10%. That's Fiverr.com. Thanks for spending time with us. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Coming up this half hour, environmental silver lining, perhaps, of the coronavirus. Using technology to mitigate coronavirus damage. Do-it-yourself coronavirus haircuts. And moving your happy hour to a video conference. That story in about 20 minutes. Is there any good news related to the coronavirus? How about this for a wild angle? Lives saved due to reduced air pollution and carbon emissions since we're not on the road as much. Here to go in-depth is Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today. Doyle, explain.
Yeah, we were looking at both air pollution and carbon pollution, and kind of determined that air pollution is a known killer worldwide. It's responsible for about 9 million deaths a year across the entire planet. And anytime you get a chance to reduce air pollution, which is, you know, which is what's happened in some countries, including China and Italy, among others, the amount of air pollution that's being spewed into the air by factories and cars has been reduced due to the people staying at home from the coronavirus. So it's kind of counterintuitive, and of course you don't want to make light of something like the coronavirus, but it has been a lifesaver in some parts of the world.
That is crazy. So and some of this stuff is, did you say some of it's visible from space?
Yeah, the satellites, we've got a bunch of satellites up there, both the NASA and the Europeans and some others, and they can actually, with specialized equipment, detect levels of different levels of pollution, different kinds of pollution around the world. And they can, you know, pinpoint cities, and instead of seeing smog, and instead of seeing some of this other type of pollution, they're seeing clear skies. And that is, you know, obviously a direct result of the reduced industry and the reduced levels of people driving.
So based on some of these calculations, who's guessing the amount of lives that may have been saved from a pollution standpoint?
Well, there was one expert, his name is Marshall Burke out of Stanford University, and he said it was likely that the economic disruption saved 20 times more lives in China than have currently been lost to the infection due to a coronavirus. And he estimated a number at, you know, close to 80,000, save the lives of about almost 80,000 adults and children in China just due to the lack of air pollution. And, you know, again, you have to tread carefully to say that it's not, you know, nobody's saying that this is a blessing in disguise by any stretch, but it just kind of makes you want to, you know, makes you appreciate and realize that just the status quo of things like air pollution due to smog is not something that it's not something you want to just take lightly either. It's a killer in its own right.
We're speaking with Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today. His piece is called "Could the Coronavirus Actually Be Saving Lives in Some Parts of the World Because of Reduced Pollution?" And that reduced pollution is coming from people who are self-quarantining and not driving cars on all the roads in places like China and Italy. Certainly these professors who do these calculations get pushback, right? Like, come on, this is more of this climate change nonsense. But how do they respond to that?
Yeah, well, I hadn't talked about climate change as much. That's kind of a separate form of pollution. That's carbon dioxide, quote-unquote, pollution, which is, you know, it's odorless, it's colorless, you can't see it, but it's the gas that's most responsible for global warming. It's a separate thing from the smoggy pollution that we can all see and we're all used to. And climate change is—it's not necessarily killing, you know, that many people at the moment compared to air pollution. But it's something, you know, we're conducting this giant experiment with our planet on dumping all this carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. And, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, we don't know. But the amount of carbon dioxide that's being released into the atmosphere is also being reduced due to the lack of industry and the reduced car emissions. So, you know, we're kind of experimenting to see what would happen if we did reduce carbon emissions, and we'll get a sense of that in the weeks and months to come to see how it actually has affected climate change.
Thanks, Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Hey, glad you could be with us. While the technology market could be devastated by the new coronavirus, there are several things tech players could do to mitigate the damage. Rob Enderle, founder of a tech advisory firm called the Enderle Group, calls this the first manageable pandemic in the world's history. Rob, how do you see this?
Well, so there's three things that occurred to me that we needed to fix that would help us get through these difficult times. The first thing I came up with was the fact that these video conferencing systems we are now being forced to use don't talk to each other. If you have a Cisco client, talking to somebody that's on Zoom is difficult. If you're over off of Microsoft Teams, getting to Cisco is difficult. I mean, you have to load the client for the video conference that you're going to go through. And imagine if that was the way it worked with phones, where you had to have a Sprint phone to talk to Sprint customers, or worse, the only people you could talk to were people that had the same manufacturer of phones that you had. So only Samsung people could talk to Samsung people. We'd probably throw the smartphones out and decide that they weren't very useful.
Yeah.
The one thing the industry just didn't seem to get with video conferencing is this stuff has to work together, and virtually none of it does. My product of the week for that particular column was a Poly video conferencing system that's trying to connect to everything, but it can't connect to everything at once. It's got to connect to everything individually. If somebody's calling in with a Zoom client and somebody else is calling in with a Cisco client, you can't hook them together and you can't talk to them both at once, which is nuts. We have to live on this stuff. And so we need a standard, much like we have a telephone standard, for everything works with everything else.
Right. Now, these are all proprietary concerns happens, and monetary, being able to monetize the service.
It goes back to the beginning. It's gotten a little bit better because we do have some common standards that these things will fall back on. But for the most part, we just never made the progress that I'd always hoped we would make. I mean, in the old days, none of this stuff talked to anything at all, ever.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes they will run additional code, but you still can't hook a bunch of people together onto separate systems and make it work. But it's something you can do on a phone. So a lot of the conference calls I'm on are now defaulting back to phones because it's the only way you can be sure that it's actually going to work. And that seems silly in this age of high technology. We're dropping back to a technology that was developed in the 30s and 40s to address problems in this decade and century. It just doesn't make sense.
All right. Talk about these heat-sensing AR glasses. What are they?
Well, so it's nothing that exists right now, but if you look at what's been going on in South Korea and other parts of Asia, they've been implementing infrared cameras that look for heat. And so if you walk into a building and you're running a temperature, it'll flag you. You also see that people are using heat sensors when you're coming into the country or whatever to identify people that are running a temperature. We could put those in glasses. And then if you're walking down the street and you see somebody that's running a fever, just to stay well away from them. Also, it would alert you to not only just COVID-19 sick people, but people that have the flu, and we lose 30,000 people a year to the flu.
Clarify that then. So the glasses, for example, I would wear the glasses.
Yes.
And then I could detect if somebody else had a fever, even if they were or were not wearing the glasses?
Correct. That's
you
want to do, because you can't be sure that somebody that's sick is going to be wearing a notification that says they're sick. So the glasses would tell you if somebody was ill. In fact, you would look down and you might be able to see a pet that's ill and say, oh, maybe I don't want to touch that particular pet.
Wow. Okay.
Because they're pet illnesses that are kind of painful to get rid of. Rabies comes to mind. So it would provide an alerting structure that you could at least keep the people that are most viral, the people that are coughing or sneezing, that are spreading the virus actively, you could keep well away from them and lower the risk of you getting ill.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Enderle, founder of the Enderle Group. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. When inspiration strikes, you should too. But how? What's the first step to bring your idea to life? Because finding the right freelancer for your business idea or project can be daunting. How can you find a quality freelancer you can afford? And how can you be sure they'll deliver? There's one easy answer to all of these questions: Fiverr. With Fiverr, you get more done with less. Fiverr connects you with freelancers who offer hundreds of services, from graphic design and copywriting to web programming, film editing, voiceover, and more. You can search by service, by deadline, by price, or reviews, and you can be confident to find quality talent you can count on at a price that's right for you. No negotiating necessary. Take five and check out Fiverr.com. That's F-I-V-E-R-R.com. GORR.com. Do it now and save 10% on your first order when you use my code Gordon. Fiverr, the fast, affordable way to bring your inspiration to life. Go to Fiverr.com and use the code Gordon to save 10%. That's Fiverr.com. Hey, glad you could be with us. It's a brave new world on many fronts. Here's the latest. The world is beginning to embrace the do-it-yourself haircut in the midst of coronavirus lockdowns. Those in need of personal grooming are grabbing beard trimmers, kitchen shears, or other tools. Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter says the results are mixed. Chip, what have you found?
Well, I think we're at the start of what might be kind of a wave of do-it-yourself haircuts. You know, right now, thousands of salons across the country have been ordered closed as government shut down all non-essential businesses. And so you see people really taking their looks into their own hands. So they're reaching into the kitchen cabinet, grabbing a pair of scissors, taking those beard trimmers, whatever they might have on hand, and trying to give themselves their own haircut.
These are folks who, I presume, like me, often say, "It'll grow back. Don't worry about how short it goes." Is that the issue here?
That's it. People are saying, "I could really mess this up. I could have bald spots. I could go with some really kind of crazy color. Nobody's going to see me because I'm going to be in quarantine for, you know, the time being and for the next couple of months. So have at it."
I think one of my favorite posts that's circulating on Facebook right now is that women who are saying in about 3 weeks, we're going to find out what everybody's true hair color really is.
But you see people trying to adapt with this. So some salons, for example, are now offering to provide virtual styling lessons. So they basically will walk everybody through how to style their hair, how to color it themselves. It's helpful for the salon workers who are out of a job or aren't able to make money right now when people aren't coming to the salon. The people providing this say it could provide a way for folks to maybe perhaps get a little bit of a professional help here. But it's really fascinating to see kind of how people do this. I talked to somebody who said he went into the bathroom and bent over the bathtub and just started trimming until it looked like a haircut. And somebody else who just cut 7 inches off their hair, took a picture of the hair in the garbage can and just went about her day. So lots of different approaches here.
Speaking with Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "The Coronavirus Closes Salons and Amateurs Take Care into Their Own Hands." Are some people making home visits to cut hair?
Well, you do see some professionals offering to come do one-on-one home visits. But a number of folks are concerned about even that. They want to really kind of take social distancing to heart, and that means not having any other people come into their homes. But what you are starting to see people do is asking relatives to help. So I talked with one person who had her fiance do this. He's 6'2". He stood above her. They both stood in the bathroom while he just tried to give her the best haircut he could. She said she wanted a tapered look, but not too tapered. She said he kind of reluctantly did it, but she was happy with the result. And I talked with someone else who he did his very first do-it-yourself haircut in the bathroom. And then as he was kind of finished with it, he called his wife in and said, "Hey, would you mind taking a look at this?" Turns out he had missed some spots and his wife kind of helped repair things and fix the damage. So I think oftentimes relatives are filling this gap perhaps more than professionals.
Thanks, Chip. Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. Thanks for being with us. Virtual cocktail parties and happy hours are popping up on Zoom, Google Hangouts, Facebook Live, and FaceTime as cooped up, socially distanced people across the world get increasingly antsy with each passing day. They clink glasses on screens, say cheers, and make toasts. The Wall Street Journal says the inability to be with friends and loved ones who aren't under the same roof during a stressful and scary time has pushed individuals to be creative with technology that is more often used for business meetings. That includes drinking at bars, which has been upended by the coronavirus. Zoom and others are aware people are now using their platforms for non-business reasons, including virtual cocktail parties. Zoom temporarily lifted the 40-minute limit on meetings from its free basic offering. A spokesman says Zoom is monitoring servers to ensure reliable service as usage increases. Even Hollywood types, by the way, are getting into virtual happy hours. Suzanne Summers recently held a Facebook Live happy hour from her home bar. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.